That's it. That's it. They say, just go ahead. We leave at 12. That's okay. Okay. All right. Well, let me begin this morning with this statement before I read our text of Scripture. God is wanting to fight your battles. But there must be an invitation. God only comes by invitation. And it's then that God's power follows His presence. You invite His presence and His power will come. Followed by victory and followed by blessings. Our text of Scripture this morning is going to begin. It's in the Old Testament from the book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20, just a few verses here, and if you'll just follow along. Verse 20 says, "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in His prophets, and you shall prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever.' Now when they began to sing," watch this, "when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them." They turned against each other. "And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped." Let me stop right there and say, when God works on our behalf, you've got to know He does not do anything halfway. He finishes what He starts in our lives. "When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the 4th day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka, or the Valley of Blessing, until this day." One more portion of Scripture. This is found in Psalms chapter 68, beginning with the first verse. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered." Would you say that with me? Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Now say it one more time with an attitude. Spouses, you'll know what I'm talking about when you talk to your talk to your spouse with an attitude. Let's say it with an attitude. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Clint knows what I'm talking about. He knows. Let those also who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish. Where? At the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice. How? Exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. by his name Yah and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. My title is simply this, Let God. Let God. Now think about this for a moment. I wonder how many times during the course of a day or of your day do you use the words, let me. Let me try. Well, let me do it. Let me have it. Let me see. Let me go. Let me drive. Let me. It's amazing how much is packed into those two words. Let's think about it. Let me is not really a command to be obeyed or to be disobeyed. It is really a phrase that is asking permission. Because the person you speak those words to, guess what? Can easily answer back, no thank you. Or no, I've got it. Or I think I can handle it. No, I can do it myself. No, not today. Now you could even say it with a little emphasis. Here, let me do that. And even though you may be much more qualified for the job, I can still resist you and restrain you and rob you of the opportunity and the joy of doing of what you have offered to do. Well, you say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about our text here this morning in Psalm 68 and verse 1. As I said, these words in our text are not a command to be obeyed or disobeyed, but it is in fact a request for you and I to recognize the superior wisdom and knowledge and strength of Almighty God and to yield to Him. In essence, God is asking us, can I help? Can I get involved here? Can I bring my knowledge and my power into your present situation? Will you trust me with this? Will you take your hands off so I can put my hands on? He's asking, have you figured out that you really do need me? That's what I see in our text. Under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, David is writing, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Understand with me this morning that God is not going to come in as gangbusters into any of our situations, into our life, and just throw you out of the way and take over. He's not going to do that. You're going to have to open the door to him. He stands at the door this morning with more power than we could ever dream of or ever need, but he won't break the door down. So many people say, well, I'm waiting on God. And yes, there is a time and a place to wait on him. Yet the truth is, much of the time God is waiting on us. He's waiting for us to recognize that we need him. Amen. He's waiting on you and I to admit that we need him. He's waiting on you to call on his name, to cry out to him. He's waiting on you to simply believe that he can make a difference in your life. He's waiting on you to invite him in. Yet, guess what? God will respect your right to fight your own battles. He won't interfere with your plans. He'll even let you do it wrong if you're determined to. God will let you wear yourself out in hopes that you will eventually turn back to Him. And the truth is, God is more anxious to help you than you are to be helped by Him. There is something in our text that leaps out at me. And it's this sentence, "And let his enemies be scattered." I don't know what battle you're in right now or what specific enemy is attacking your life right now. It could be mentally, it could be emotionally, it could be physically or spiritually. It could be attacks on your physical body or attacks on your mind. It could be attacks on your children or your grandchildren. It could be attacks against your marriage. And the list, we know, could go on and on. But what the Holy Spirit emphasized to me is that these are not just my problems. And these are not just your problems. These are not just your enemies or my enemies. These are His enemies. Amen. Understand with me, long before that sickness ever hit your body, it was God's enemy. Long before that demon of fear attacked your mind, it was God's enemy. Long before the devil went after your children, it was God's enemy. Long before poverty and lack stretched their bony fingers into your life, they were God's enemies. Long before depression and anxiety and worry and stress ever touched your life, they were God's enemies. So the word that someone needs to hear this morning is this: God wants to arise in you today and scatter His enemies. The Holy Spirit is on standby right now, waiting to be invited to battle. God hates the things that are hurting you. It hurts God to see His children hurt, Sister North. But I believe what hurts Him most is to watch us try on our own to do what He's offered to do for us and in us. Where is God going to arise then? Not out in the sky, not in the middle of the street. He's going to arise where? In you, in me. He's going to stand up on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because what? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." God's power is going to be revealed in you and through you. And the rest of that verse says, "Let them also that hate Him," who? God, "flee before Him." Did you see that? It says, "Let those that hate God flee before Him." That puts the battle then on another level. This is not just you and I trying to hold out against the hordes of hell. This is God standing up, rising up, and those demons that hate God running away from Him. Did you see that? The devil is attacking you. Why? Because he hates God. And the only way that he can hurt God is to hurt His children. Now look at verse 2 again. "As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." For God to arise, watch this, for God to arise means that His presence explodes in us. It means that the tangible, manifest presence of God is magnified and multiplied. It means that there is such a tangible, manifest presence of God that the demons have to flee. It means the presence of God becomes so present and so intense that the demons can't stand it. And I'm sorry if you do not believe in demons and angels, but they are real. Disease diseases die in His presence. Fear melts away in His presence. Bondages and habits and addictions disintegrate in His presence. Anger, frustration, and confusion run from His presence. Listen, we're used to a light, gentle, casual breeze of His presence. We're used to that soft, soothing balm that calms the soul. And how many know those? That's wonderful. And we need that time and we need that. But when we talk about warfare, we're talking about something totally different. His presence is warfare, and warfare is Jesus out of the box, Brandon. His presence in warfare is Jesus off the hook. His presence in warfare is when we take the energy that we have been fighting with now and we focus it on Jesus instead, and we begin to worship Him. Then when His presence has risen to a certain level, guess what's going to happen? He's going to take over. Look at these verses. 1 Samuel 17:47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And here's the battle plan that He gave to King Jehoshaphat. This is from the 17th verse of the 20th chapter. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow you go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So what did they do? Let's look at our text again. Verse 21. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out where? Before the army. And we're saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, watch this. The Lord set ambushments again against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. David talked about this level of presence again from our text in Psalm 68 and verse 8. Here's what he wrote. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved. The mountain moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. I believe this is where we are headed right now, because this is the answer to our problems today. We can talk about God, and we can talk about His love, and we can talk about His goodness. We can even talk about His power. And each of these attributes are awesome in their own right, and they have their place in our lives. But ultimately, it's not what we say about God, Brandon, about God that dries up cancer and drives out devils and opens blind eyes. That's what it's ultimately about. And makes the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dumb to speak. Watch this. It is the undeniable reality of the manifested presence of God. Amen. Almighty. As we worship Him, and we magnify and we adore Him and we glorify Him, that's when He comes and He rises on our praise. And I'm the first, I have to admit, there are times when we gather together, especially on Sunday mornings, and we sing our songs and the presence of God comes in. But so many times, sadly, I know many, many other pastors do the same. We worry about the time. Lord, help us to forget the time. If you have to leave, you have to leave. But what if we went those three songs or those four songs and we decided, Sister Tina, just to enter on in, just to linger a little more, Brandon? Yes, there's going to be people back there tapping their watch. Come on now, come on. But what if God's presence is already in the house and He's waiting? He's waiting for an invite. And all He's looking for is somebody just to raise their hands or just raise their head to and say, oh, Lord, would You just come? I'm telling you, we move too fast. We move too fast. Praise, watch this. Praise is the chariot God rides on. As we praise and we worship Him, He comes in and He fills the atmosphere with His presence. And when His presence fills the atmosphere, fills the house, listen, every unclean and impure and unholy spirit of darkness has to leave. Understand something with me this morning, and that is the presence of God brings total chaos and confusion into the enemy's camp. Yes. And just as it did in our story, and it's for us, and it's for us as we praise Him and as we magnify Him and we celebrate Him. Listen, demons go crazy. They break ranks and they start fighting each other. I can't stand it. She's up there praising. She's already got up this morning and she's turned on the praise music. We can't stand it. We can't do what we were sent to do to her this morning. Why? Because she's already praising God. She's been pleading the blood since 4 o'clock over her children and her grandchildren. I want to go ahead and just declare that this is a remnant body of God's people that have made a decision to come out of the bunkers, if you please, and you're shaking off all fear. And that includes, watch this, any satanic germ or virus or disease that might rear its ugly head. For now and in the days to come. And we're coming back to the heart of worship. And we are giving back God to God the attention and the affection that belongs to Him alone. And watch this, as we worship Him and we lift Him up, we're going to see God arise and His enemies be scattered in our lives. The devil isn't going to know what to do. Could we just for a moment lift our hands and worship Almighty God? And while you're worshiping Him right now, just say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. And you could even personalize it and say, Lord, let Your enemies be scattered in my life. Enemies of fear and sickness and disease. Now, I want us to look at these verses from the Message Bible. I told Brother North that he inspired me last Sunday. He got kind of bold when he preached from the Message translation. You got to understand, we're from the old school. You know, we were taught as King James only because that's what Jesus spoke, you know. Not really. He didn't. He did not speak. He didn't. So he kind of stepped out on the water last Sunday, you know, didn't he? Psalm 68, the first four verses. Watch what the Message says. I think they'll have it up here. Up with God. Everybody say up with God. Down with His enemies. Adversaries, run for the hills. Gone like a puff of smoke, like a blob of wax in the fire. One look at God and the wicked vanish. When the righteous see God in action, they'll laugh. They'll sing. They'll laugh and sing for joy. Sing hymns to God and all heaven. Sing out. Clear the way for the coming. Look at that. For the coming of the cloud rider. The one who rides on the clouds. Enjoy God. Cheer when you see Him. This morning, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit wanted to shine a light on. It says, when the righteous see God in action, they'll laugh and they'll sing, and they'll laugh and sing for joy. Listen, it may seem like we have actually seen God do very little since the COVID fiasco started. And that's because I just happen to believe God has been covering His work. And what I mean by that, you could almost say He has been working in the dark. He has intentionally been working behind the scenes. Now, don't get me wrong, He's still working. But maybe we didn't see everything that He was doing. You have to understand something. There is a time when God requires for us, His children, to walk by faith, Brother Tony, with no other evidence except His Word that He gives us. And Brother Tony so eloquently said this Wednesday night, when it's test time, do you realize the teacher goes silent? When you're taking a test, when you're going through that test, the teacher don't walk around and say, talking about what's for lunch, you know, because he knows you're concentrating on your test. So he stays quiet. Then there is a time when God steps out from behind the curtains and He rolls up His sleeves, Brandon, and the waters part and the mountains shake and the seas roar and His enemies melt like wax. And there is no doubt then at that moment that there is a God and that He is awesome and that He can do anything in our lives. And I'm going to go ahead and just boldly declare that we're getting ready to see God in action. We're getting ready to see with our physical eyes the manifestation of the power of God. Is Reith here? Reith, are you here? Oh, there you are. Didn't see you there. Come on down. Come on down. Let's make a deal. Some of y'all don't remember that, do you? That was before. Tells you age. There was a point in the middle of the Red Sea when Pharaoh and all of his great army woke up to the awesome power of God. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 25. Watch what it says. And God, speaking of God, He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. I think it would be very difficult. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." And we know He killed every one of them. They were completely engulfed by the water. Can I just tell you that the same God who stood up for the children of Israel will also stand up for you and for me. Every one of us. He'll stand up for you in your situation. And I believe as we come closer to the return of the Lord for His bride called the church, we're going to see God in action. And the enemies are going to have to admit that there is a God in the church and that He is fighting for His people. So what is it then that we are supposed to do? What are you needing then to change? Or something, what needs to change maybe in your life? Here's how we make it happen. We make this a daily lifestyle of just lifting our voices and magnifying God. And in that, we're saying, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Would you just say that with me again? Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Even if for a moment you may not see change in the natural concerning the things in your life. I want to encourage you to just praise Him by faith. Invite the Lord into your circumstances, whatever those may be. And remember, He already knows everything about your life, but He's waiting to hear from you. He's wanting you to remind Him of His Word. We are to tell Him all of our troubles, as that old song goes. Tell Him all about your troubles. He's waiting for you to ask Him to come in and do what you know that you cannot do on your own. Will anybody admit you've tried to do things on your own? And where did it get you?
Nowhere,
that's right. And what He does then, when you invite Him into your circumstances, here's what He does. As you're praising Him and you're inviting His presence in and you're believing that He can do it, He takes your natural and He puts His super in front of it, and then He goes to work. Brother North gave us last Sunday example after example of that in people's lives in the Bible. When we let God arise in our lives, we're going to see the enemy scattered. In other words, things are going to change for you. As you determine to make praise a lifestyle, I promise you, you're going to see something change and turn in your spirit. Things that you saw one particular way, it's going to be totally different. He's either going to change you and how you think about it and how you are reacting, or He's going to change the other that needs to be changed. Remember, the Bible says that God is no respecter of people, and what He does for one, He'll do for another. Don't let the enemy talk to you, "Well, he did that for so-and-so. He's just not doing anything for me." No, no. You now know what to do. You know what to do. I want to tell somebody, you're getting ready to witness your God in action. Let's all stand together. You're getting ready to not only see it for yourself, but you're getting ready to hear the heathen testify that God is working in your life. One more time, can we just give God a shout of praise with a hand clap? Thank you, Lord. Whoa! Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered in our lives. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We praise You, mighty God. We give You the glory. We give You the glory. Hallelujah. If you're needing something today, we're right here. We'll pray with you today. Our ministers, Brandon, would you come? Mr. Wallace, we're going to be right here. And in just a few moments, we're going to be gathering down in the gym to be with Brother Gage. And he's baptized today in water. He's already been baptized into the family of God. Now he's going to be baptized in water. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. But right now, whatever you're needing today, don't let this day go by. Ask the Lord to show you, if you don't completely understand what I've said today. Ask Him to show you in His Word. Ask Him to speak to you. All you got to do is invite Him in. "Lord, come into my heart. Do what you need to do in my life." Guess what? Sometimes it might just take us surrendering our lives to Him. We've done it for so long. We've done it our way for so long. But He's saying, "Hey, I'm ready. I've got all the power you need. Would you just invite me in?" Father, I thank You. I thank You for this body of people. Thank You for what You have done in our lives. Thank You for what You're doing. God, I ask You to speak to each and every person, from the youngest to the oldest today. Speak to their hearts. Continue, Lord, to lead us and to guide us, direct our steps. Lord, I thank You for Andrew and for Logan today. Just continue to be with them. I thank you for them. I thank you for our children today. Lord, we just ask your blessings. We just praise you. Be with us this week. Go with us. Bring us back safe, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.